hitting the record button right now because we're getting started for a brand new edition of the Bid Nerds. Welcome, everybody. This is your daily nerd out on the most interesting cars on Cars and Bids and Bring a Trailer. My name is John Polnick. I'm your host of Bid Nerds, coming to you live from Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm right on the Las Vegas Strip. We are the greatest live show on the Strip right now because we're the only live show on the Las Vegas Strip right now, along with my partner, Michael Deeb, coming to you from San Francisco, the San Francisco Bay, with all the fog and everything. How you doing, Michael Deeb?
Excellent, JP. What's happening, man? Good morning, buddy.
Good morning. I got a chance to get a little coffee. I saw your carbon out this morning. Those amazing-looking croissants. You want to give a plug to wherever the heck that was?
Yeah. So Esther has been, you know, as we've come back to San Francisco, we've been hearing about all the new and hot bougie coffee places. Mm. So today we tried Ritual Coffee on Haight Street. I gotta tell you,
sounds so bougie. Yeah.
So JP, I am a lightweight when it comes to coffee. I like mine watered down, black, but watered down, no cream and sugar. And this stuff is rocket fuel. If I make it to the end of the show without having to exit to the restroom, that'll be a miracle.
Wow. All right. Well, if I ever find my way over to San Francisco after you've cleared out your house, you are taking me to that place because you know I'm a coffee guy. The best coffee shop in Las Vegas right now is my place.
My place,
Rochelle's, where I live.
Yeah,
we have an actual espresso machine in the house.
How did I forget that?
My wife was a professional barista. She owned a coffee shop for many years, and so it's pretty cool to have
the goods in the place.
Yeah.
Since Hearst Media bought Bring a Trailer, they will sell anything on auction. Are we to believe that Rochelle actually bought your espresso machine out of Italy off of Bring a Trailer?
That may have happened. I don't know. I'm sure it says Momo on the back of it or something like that, which would be dope. I would buy a Momo espresso machine. Yeah. I'd trade in the one that we have and just go get that. How cool would that be? Come on, mental note, call Momo.
I just want to know how many stickers are already on Rochelle's espresso machine.
No, you can't put stickers on them. I hate it when they do that and stuff. I don't know, but you can't see the back of it because we're in a kitchen. It's not like a coffee shop where you see the back of it. Man, there are some cool looking espresso machines out there.
Yep.
The one they have at Public Us, if you're ever in Las Vegas in the Arts District, check out Public Us. It's one of my favorite coffee shops in the city, and they have an espresso machine that is absolutely a work of art. This is probably a $100,000 machine, and it's just unbelievable, that thing.
The cool Italian ones still have the big arm, and you throw the press, right? You roll the arm down, and you build the pressure, and as that thing releases, that becomes your coffee. Those are see those, but not far from us is North Beach in San Francisco. That's our little Italy, and there are a few places that have some cool old espresso machines like that. They are dope.
Yeah, it's like brass and chrome and polished aluminum and tubes and hoses and, like billet. It's like bespoke, this thing. It's it really is cool.
Yeah.
It's like four groups. So, the one we have is actually a very pretty one, but it's just a single group because obviously
we're
serving coffee to the neighbors. Of course, if the neighbors knew we had this good of coffee, they'd probably be knocking on our door.
For sure.
All right. Well, so welcome to Bid Nerds, guys. If you're a fan of the show, we really, really triple appreciate you today. It's the end of the week. This is something that we do every day, Monday through Friday, during the 9 o'clock-ish hour Pacific time. We talk about the most interesting cars and Cars and Bids and Bring a Trailer. We make predictions on what these cars will sell for. We talk about all the little weird things that are about these cars. We talk about whether or not they belong on the platforms that they're being sold at. And this is a nerd out. I mean, we are nerding out on these cars, man. We are not kidding when we say we're nerds. So we do keep track of our predictions, and we have a little bit of a competition. And there was a bit of a smackdown the other day. I had a really good day where I got everything right, which is very rare. But we've been actually, other than that, we've had a fairly even week. And yesterday, Mike, I think you got yourself within a fighting chance of at least breaking even this week. You're gonna have to have a really good day before we get to our uh, to to going over the predictions from yesterday, we just want to say, again, thank you. Subscribe, like, share, let everybody know about the channel. And if you're brand new, you probably came to the channel looking at a picture of that amazing 23,000 mile BMW M3 E30 Sport Evo.
Evo.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about that right after our right after we go over yesterday's numbers.
Yeah, that car. I'm excited to review that car. Those things are badass.
Wow. Okay, so what happened yesterday? What's going on?
Well, yesterday was pretty even, JP. I got you back a little bit, but it was really close. Our star car yesterday, if I remember, was the what was it yesterday?
It was the DeLorean.
Interesting. DeLorean wound up being a little softer than we thought. 1981 DeLorean with like 25,000 miles out of Texas or something. Southern California. Really nice car. No nonsense, no stories, no modifications, just an honest driver car, not a super low mile, like lawn queen. I thought that car should bring 50,000. You were a little softer on it at 48. The car sold for $44,000. You got the win.
Doc Brown's signature didn't give it an extra $5,000, which is what we were both kind of thinking.
Counted on that. Yeah. Christopher Lloyd's sitting on the dashboard. That's such a nerd touch. I love it. we all looked at a beautiful 2002 Honda S1000, another low-mile car, black with full red. O2 was the first glass rear roof. There are probably one or two other things that this car had that I don't know enough about AP1s to tell you about. But this one looked to be in really great original condition, even had the correct Bridgestone SO2 tires, which I think were the OEM spec on the car. And when you see that level of detail, you know that the owner is pretty fastidious, which I like when you're buying a cool collector car like this. I thought 30,000 would take it home. You thought 28, and that car sold for $27,750. JP, you were $250 away from a Yahtzee. Must have hurt.
I'm going to tell you what, you know, it would have hurt much more if I had gone with my gut, because I bet a little tight, you know, I put it a little closer to you thinking that, all right, well, you know, I don't want to give us too much of a spread here in order to try to get a W on the win here. But the first number that came to my head was 2750.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I mean, so I would have been like, you know, or 27,500. Yeah.
Just as close on the other side of it. Yeah.
Like, like, holy cow. But I will tell you that yesterday, when we were going over this car on the show, I was going, man, do I sell my 997.2 convertible and just get one of these and have and pocket, you know, the 997 is worth almost twice as much as this car, but I don't think it is twice the car. This car is almost like, do I get one? I mean, I don't know. It's not on brand for me.
Drive. Yeah, no, not at all. But they are so fun. This one, I think, just has a ton of eyeball with the full red interior on the black. 02, I believe, is the only year you could get it done in this colorway. So this has to be one of just a handful like that for the whole world. So I really, really neat car. And I think it was really well bought, and this guy is going to enjoy it and probably sell it for more money than he paid for it, no matter how much he drives it. Another enviable car, JP, on Bring a Trailer out of my neck of the woods here in the Bay Area was this incredibly low mile 1987 Volkswagen GTI 16 valve. This was an 87 car with 16,000 miles on it, and man, was this thing look like a brand new car or what? Crazy. JP, you explained to me how these early 16 valves, I think we said pre-89, had those square lights like their golf,
you know, I need to actually mention something on that. I think I may have actually been wrong on that. The more I think about it, and I'm still going from memory here, but I think 87s introduced round headlights. Or 80, it's 88. Like 87, 88, something like that, 89.
Yeah.
It was like a different trim level package or something.
Yeah, because this one is an 87, has the square lights. The other thing I thought that was also very interesting at the end of the show at the end of the review on this one, you said it's an easy fix, like that they sell kits where you can swap it over to the round grill. And in that regard, man, I would do that. If I own this car, I know it's kind of sacrilegious, but I'd love the round headlights and just keep the square ones and sell it with the car later.
Yeah,
I thought this car would bring 19, and I got you worked up because you bet the over, which is rare for you. Yeah. You said 20. this car got stolen for $15,750. Really well bought. Congratulations, new owner. You have an enviable ride. That's a sick car. I love it.
I have a prediction that we will see this car on the platform again. I have a feeling whoever bought this is going to go out and take the right pictures and do. I mean, there's really nothing to do to it. You don't want to upgrade a dang thing, but I do think it wasn't presented well. These photos are not the greatest. But it is. I don't understand why this car didn't go way more. Something's weird there. I don't know.
Yeah. So I bet 19 and I won that one because it was way under my bid. We also looked at an 88 Pontiac Fiero GT, otherwise known as a
your Paul, favorite car in the world. Everyone Paul, knows it.
A Paul Jarrett special. I managed to keep my food down and get through my review of this car. I said 16. You believed in it at 17, and I made fun of you because this guy just bought this car for like $18,500 last August on Bring a Trailer, and I told you, I said, JP, there's no way this guy's getting his money back. And you said, Michael, there's entirely possible it would have a late Fury. This one did not. My prediction on this car bore out. It was bid to $12,666 or about $6,000 less than this guy paid for it. So, man, he has a firm grip on that car. Good luck, sucker.
He might have a Countach replica kit he's about to install on this one. The other thing, too, is that this car was represented really well. The photos were terrific. There's some really nice driving videos of the video. You should go look at those. I'm still kind of shocked by this. I think, frankly, this is one of those things where it was bought too publicly. If this car, if no one had ever heard of this car, if this car came out of the woodwork, and we didn't all know what he bought it for 6 months ago or whatever, if this car was just like brand new to the internet, I think it would have brought more money. But I think something about the dude and the way it was presented, even though it's photographed very well, I just feel like. Yeah, I think if it had just popped on the scene, people were like, oh my gosh, a fresh new Fiero, let's get into it. Yeah, I don't know. Neither one of us want this car, but still kind of neat.
Yep. Well, he owns it. And I mean, where does he go from there? That's a bummer. But we also looked at, and this was an interesting one. We were pretty close on this car as well. It's basically a 1961 Volkswagen that was made into a fiberglass 55 style Porsche 356 pre-A replica coupe. This was meant to look like a Continental. JP, if you remember, while we were running through the photos, I looked at a close-up that you had put up of the Continental emblem, and I said, that is not the Porsche one. And I was sure of that. So I looked it up, and what I think he did is he took a 1950s Lincoln Continental.
I was going to say, it was a Lincoln Continental.
That logo. Yeah. Yeah. Touche, very well done. That's hilarious. He used the Lincoln Continental script.
I mean, it is a fake Continental. Totally. So why not use the fake? Yeah. That's actually pretty funny if you think.
And to remind our audience,
trolling right there.
As the story goes, Porsche brought this top of the line model with all their bells and whistles to the United States, and Ford lost their shit and basically threatened to file suit to Porsche that the Lincoln brand already owed the rights to the Continental name. And Porsche acquiesced and changed the name to the Europa or something like that. The European, I think, is the name. So
did Porsche have a legal department back then? Did they have anyone? Because it's like named the 911 the 901. They get smacked down by Peugeot just a couple of years after this. You think after this car, the Continental thing, we should check the nomenclature of other cars before we name our stuff. What could go wrong?
to understand. A lot of these car companies, JP, when they bought their first warehouses and started building, a lot of these places, especially in the UK, didn't even have a cement floor. These guys were working on wet earth, like dirt, to build these cars. I mean, the imperfection abounds on all of these things. Anyways, you and I both thought this was a really cool build, I think. Despite having like heated seats and electric window lifts and a few other modern amenities, it'd probably be a really cool car to drive with an 1800cc motor. It's built on a 61 Volkswagen chassis, so you could register it smog exempt almost anywhere in the lower 48. So I said 55, you said 57. The car was bid to 52, which means the reserve was set higher. So it's anybody's guess if it was at 55 or maybe even 65,000, because you and I both assumed, looking at the details, that this was probably 100,000 or more bid. So
yeah, nice I don't understand that one at all. I mean, it's you can get a real 356 in that kind of number. I mean, you're not going to get one as this nice, but who cares? It's real.
You can, yep. So there you go. That was the day. I had three. You had two. I kind of got you back, but let's remind the audience, yesterday you had a total flush. Five wins, including a Yahtzee. The first ever Bid Nerds washout where one nerd got them all right. So that was well to you this week.
Well nerded. Let's see what we got today. All right. So So that was yesterday's cars. Let's talk about today's cars on the Daily Nerd Out, and the most interesting cars and cars and bids and bring and trailers, where we predict the prices of cars on the auction sites. What are we going to start with? If you saw the thumbnail, you're probably pretty excited about this car that we're going to be talking about.
JP, this is
holy freeholies.
Man, it's so funny. It's an E30 BMW M3, but the 1990, basically, how do I say this? These cars were homologation specials so that, Opel and Porsche and Alfa, not Porsche, but BMW and Mercedes could race these cars in touring car, both in their national country. Like, so this car would have been in the DTM, which is the Dutch Touring Masters or whatever, and then in the European, the ETCC, the European Touring Car Championship. So a lot of these teams would race regionally, and then they would race sort of internationally throughout Europe, and the cars had to evolve to continue to homologate better parts so that the cars could remain competitive in fierce competition against their rival brands. This car is the byproduct of this. So this is called the Sport Evolution, or sometimes referred to as the Evo 3, because it was the third iteration of a development of the original E30 BMW M3. By the time this car came around, and it was never sold in the U.S., these cars were only sold overseas, the motor had grown from 2.3 to 2.5 liter. Horsepower had swelled from, like, I don't know, I think the original cars were like 180, all the way up to 238 horsepower. These cars had a five-speed manual transmission with the dog leg first. It's made by the German brand Getrag. They had really super bolstered seats that had Alcantara on the steering wheel and the sides of the seats. And then the beautiful BMW M tricolore sort of hurricane cloth, as it's often referred to. Just amazing. BBS wheels, the mesh wheels. These cars handled well. They revved high. They were fast. They were nimble. And they were almost impossible to get. They only made a few of these to homologate. I believe our car here is one of 600. It's sold out of Miami, Florida, and it has just 24,000 miles. That's basically 38,000 kilometers on the odometer, which translates to just 24,000 miles. So it's offered in basically brand new condition. It's like barely broken in. You never see these in the U.S., so they're super rare, and they command a massive premium. M3s have become six-figure cars, but this M3 is going to go for, I'm guessing, over $250,000. What an unbelievable driving car, and destined to just continue to go up in value. You could buy this car, drive it occasionally, and it's like buying a savings bond. It's just going to keep getting going up and up and up. But look at that interior, JP. Is that not the coolest thing you've seen on an early E30 M3? That all that trick stuff came from the factory. What do you think?
How much can we talk about BMW E30 M3s? Apparently a lot. I mean, you know, we kind of skip over these a lot of times when we see them in the list, because it's like, all right, well, we talk about them a lot. But this one is so amazingly special with all this extra amazing trim. And the thing is, from the outside, it really doesn't look like anything other than a regular, if there's anything such thing as an E30 M3. But, you know, obviously it is special, so that's bringing the extra money. I will tell you that I'm going to go ahead and say it here. I'll say it on a split screen with the two of us.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't effing get it. I love BMW E30 M3s. They're literally one of the top five greatest cars of all time. But to spend, this car is just nothing but a museum piece. I don't want this car because I don't think you can drive it or would drive it. It'd be too much of a risk. I would rather get a regular E30 BMW M3 that you could go drive around. This thing is just too pretty and too nice, and it's just, it's big deal. It's an Evo Sport, so you're going to spend twice as much money or more.
So here's my argument. So basically, mm-hmm. again, we're talking about holy grail ether and threes, mm-hmm. and to that end, with the high value that you're talking about, I would still love to drive this. I'd put clear film on the front of it, and I would love to drive up Angel's Crest and hunt down younger, more superior Porsches because right. this car has the ability to do that. But here's where it's interesting, JP. Here's my argument. It's the drive across the desert from Vegas that I'm following you, and we're going to park, let's just say, in a motel. Mm. You know, maybe not Ben's house per se if we're staying at Ben's house, but I don't want to leave this car in a parking lot overnight or on a city street in LA. I would be scared it would get swiped. That's the part that scares me is I wouldn't even want to leave it, you know, at the what's that hotel that Esther and I always stay at downtown LA. I wouldn't want to leave it, even though they park my car out front every time I stay there. I wouldn't want this car sitting out under their awning in the middle for the whole world to see. That's the part that scares me is that somebody would steal it. But as far as driving it, I don't think I'm going to crash it. I don't care if it gets a stone chip. I want to enjoy it because I love to drive my cars, but it is precious enough that I'd worry about being able to keep it. And that's the thing.
It's
that's
too,
really weird.
Too precious. I mean, there's cars that you could own that are worth twice as much money that who cares? Like if you go get an Aventador or something like that, you could drive around and park it next to Hyundai's. Who gives a crap? It's just an Aventador. Yeah. I just said that. It's just a stupid whatever. And I like those, the cars I do, but you can go to any Cars and Coffee and see 40 of them, you know, an E30 BMW. W M3 Evo is not a car. You could see a bunch of M3s, E30 M3s, but an E30 M3 Evo? Probably not. Now, again, you know, we talk about this sometimes, like how much room do you have? How much money do you have? You know, this is if you're going to be spending $250,000 on this car, this is not the only $250,000 car you have. You have a fleet of stuff. So this is for the guy that wants the unattainable and wants to add it to the collection. That's why, again, I say it's not for me. Even if I did jump up in the tax bracket significantly, it's probably never going to be me. There's a bunch of other stuff I'm getting before I drop $250,000 on one of these.
So now I have to say, and the owner of this car is going to be pissed if he sees our show before his auction closes. Mm-hmm. But Eric Keller, who owns Enthusiast Auto Group out of Cincinnati, Ohio, they only sell BMW M cars. They are the M motorsports specialist in the United States. Eric Keller is a great guy. Very, very good friend in that regard because he's just he's the expert on these cars. He has recently, and I hope he doesn't get mad at me for this, he recently acquired a car exactly like this, but this is not the same car. But he has, I want to say, like a 25,000-mile 1990 M3 Sport Evolution in the same color. Now, this car only came in two colors, the brilliant red and the black, which has the little red trim on the bumpers, front and rear. And so I imagine his car, if he doesn't plan on keeping it himself, which he ought to because it's just as nice as this one, may come to market probably later this summer or this year.
He's going to be watching this auction, yeah.
Yeah, he just acquired it. Yeah, and I know for a fact that he bought it right. And so he'll be very interested to see if this guy, who's not the BMW expert, can bring over $250,000 for this. The other thing I have to ask you, JP, before we get off this car is at $225,000, which is all the money, is this car reached its reserve? Because where are you going to find another one with 23,000 miles? Now, I just told you Eric Keller's going to bring one to market, but I'm sure he's going to get $250,000 because he's the M3 guy. He's the E30 guy in this country.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, the reserve can't be higher than 200, can it? Would BAT let him do that? Maybe to get the car on the site? I don't know. I mean, this car is already way past what I think they should be worth. I mean, six-figure E30 M3s, okay. I mean, I get it. But this high, come on. This is just, no. Somebody's going to get, I know most people disagree with me, but I don't care because whatever, man. I'm just over this car. I'm over this car as much as you are over that Fiero. I mean, it's really that bad. I don't care about this thing. It's way too overpriced. It is not worth this much money at all.
All right.
Okay. What's it going to go for? What's the Kool-Aid? What are the Kool-Aid drinkers buying this thing for?
So I know you're sitting down, but hang on to your hats for this one, JP. This car already at $225,000 already has 20 bids. So there's action on this car, but I don't know how much of that action is going to remain up in this rarefied air. Mm-hmm. I originally put 250, and then this morning I thought, oh, it's probably going to break that real easy, 260. I'm going to go back. I'm going to say $250,000, and it sells. Yeah, that's my bid.
I mean, so 250 is you kept saying 250, 250, 250. I'm going to go under. I'm going to go 245. I mean,
that's a good bet.
That's another 20 grand from where it's at.
Yeah. It's definitely there. It's right there. The question is if this guy, you know, set the reserve too high. We'll see.
You know, the other one last thing too. It's like this money for this car with how many miles? 20,000 miles?
23,000 miles.
Yeah. If it were 2,000 miles, if it were delivery miles, okay. Now we're having a conversation because it really is a museum piece. But 23,000 miles, this car's been driven. What are we doing?
Well, listen to this. If this car goes to 250 and it sells, now these cars are eligible to import. People are going to start bringing in Evo 1s and the Johnny Cachettos and all these other special E30s that we never got in the U.S. And we'll see more of these come to market for sure, because now you can bring them in under the 25-year rule. Which is cool, because I'd love to have them here. I'd love to chase one up to Newcomb's Ranch on a Friday morning. That'd be cool.
It's like the 993 RSs. I mean, you know, those were $500,000 cars. Now they're $300,000 cars because you can bring them here.
That's exactly right.
All right. Let's go on to the next thing. What do we got?
Okay, so JP, I just thought this was a really cool car. This is a 2012 BMW 550i on Cars and Bids. It's got some miles on it, but not that many, 68,500. This is just the basic 550, even at a glance, it looks like an M5 because he put the little corner things on front fenders and he put the M5 badge. I'm not into the badge engineering of a car, but if you look closely, JP, this is a 4.4 liter turbocharged V8 with a usually rare 6-speed manual. It's got the BMW sport seats, which I love. These seats are so incredibly comfortable. They are the best seats money can buy in a sports sedan or a car for that matter. Triple black chrome wheel or silver wheels. Something about this car just oozes understated cool. This is a great Q car, very under the radar. And think about this, JP, out of Syracuse, New York, this car's got 68,000 miles on it. So there's tons of life left in this car. And yet it's at 16,500 on 17 bids. If this car sells for under 25 grand, is that not like a pretty incredible value for just an everyday driving sedan with a manual transmission? I just thought that was a really neat car. And you just don't see these modern cars, especially sedans, with a manual. So I thought it was worth taking a look at. What's your opinion? Do you love this as much as I do? Or am I out on a limb here?
Did the M5 of the generation come with a manual?
I believe it did, but again, you're talking like probably less than 8% take rate. Very rare.
Look, the reason if this car goes under what it's actually worth, this is what it's called. It's called karma. You don't put an M5 badge on a car that's not an M5. You don't put an M3 badge on a this is like, what? This is something that we did in high school. Oh, look, I've got an E30 and it's a 318 and it's, you know, the exhaust is dragging and, but we're going to put an M3 badge on it. You're not fooling anyone. That's stupid. It's too stupid. And I mean, the car is actually, it's a pretty cool car. And those seats are great. And I love that it's a manual. So I've got to give props to the car, but just take the stupid badge off and now you got something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's that gill, that little air vent on the side of the front quarter fenders. Mm-hmm. He actually did body work to put those in. That is an M5 detail that would not have come on a regular 550. And so he took the car to the body shop and had to repaint those fenders to get those things on there. And that's where he ruined it. And what's interesting, too, is the body shop that did it did a horrible job. There is a ton of orange peel on those fenders. I think all that is going to hold this car back. But to see a black-on-black 550, this car makes 400 horsepower and has 450 pound foot of torque and a stick. I mean, that is got to be a great driving car. And if it's got M Sport suspension and the M Sport seats, man, it is about as comfortable a car as you could find for the money. So I just thought this was pretty neat out of Syracuse, New York.
Well, I mean, it's in the right place for it. Cause look, I mean, there's snow on the ground. The roads are terrible there. You know, there's corrosion. This car is going to get destroyed if it's driven daily, which it looks like it is. And so if you're going to drive a car into the city, on the East Coast, if you're going to go through all the stupid, why not? Why not destroy a car like this? Because that is the perfect driver to be destroyed. This is not a car that's got any kind of value long-term. No. But it does look like it's fun to drive. So beat the hell out of it. Don't worry about leaving it in the rain, the snow, and the corrosion until those poorly painted fenders rust right off the dang thing. All right. So what's it going to go for?
It's at 16.5 now, JP. But again, because I think he did kind of a hack job on it, I think it's only going to make it to $19,000.
So, okay. Wait, it's at 16.5. You think it's going to make it to 19? How many bids we got? We got 17 bids. Yeah.
17 bids.
I'm going to give it another $2,000 and give it 18.5. I think this is going to stall out. I think this is one of those. This has the potential that it could not get any more bids from here on out today. When was the last time it had a bid? Yeah, I guess it had a bid an hour ago.
This morning. Yeah.
So people are looking at it.
It was at like 10 or 11,000 all week, and then it just jumped last night and overnight this morning. So it may sell, but
this is a cars and bids car. I will say that cars and bids has kind of a lesser audience than certainly BAT, from not just size and scope, but just kind of like all around type of enthusiasts that hang out on cars and bids. And I like cars and bids, but I just feel like it's going downhill, and this might be a car that fits that model. But you know, I have seen BMWs over and over and over do very poorly on cars and bids, particularly manual ones, particularly ones that I bought, you know? I don't get it. Yeah. I'm saying that a lot this morning. I don't know. I guess I need some more coffee or something like that. But the BMWs today are – no, I would love to drive this car as a daily and not worry about it. This would be the perfect throwaway, awesome, everyday car.
Seriously. Yeah,
it's funny that we're sitting here saying a car – yeah, a throwaway car that's got 400 horsepower and a manual, and it's a BMW. But really,
it's the H&M of daily transport, just throwaway clothing, you know?
If I did buy the car, I would show up, give the guy the money, I would pull out a screwdriver, and I would look at him while I pried the badge off before I drove it away. I wouldn't drive it anywhere. I'd be just like, I'm looking at you in the eye as I rip this thing off. I don't care if it takes paint with me.
There might be members of the audience that don't know you well enough to understand. You are absolutely telling the truth.
Not even
totally
kidding.
He would totally do that. Just side-eyeing the guy while he's wrenching on the grill. Just and like, get it off there.
It would make an awful sound. It might chip the paint. Leave goop on it. I'd be like, okay, now I can drive this car.
And then the emblem would fall to the ground, and JP would drive over it as he left the guy's house.
Exactly.
All right. So
I'd throw it at him like, here's your badge. Bounce off his chest. Right. You might want this for the next car that you turn into an M5.
The holy grail of BMW E33s aside, this 2004 Porsche 911 C4S is really freaking cool. So, JP, on New Year's, Esther and I went with the Breakfast Club Rally, who has only been in existence since June of last year here in Northern California. And on our way home, the final leg of the rally, Esther and I were stuck behind a 2004 C4S in white, a coupe with either a luggage rack or a bike rack on the roof. But I came home and I couldn't wait to tell you how cool the rally was, how cool the people in the collective group of cars was, how big the rally was. And then I spent 15 minutes fawning over how unbelievably gorgeous it was to follow a 996 C4S. And then you said to me, you are on record as saying that the 996 C4S is the most beautiful Porsche rear end of all time. And I cannot argue with you. It's absolutely stunning. So when I saw this black one, JP, I was like, we have to look at this car. 23,000 miles on the odometer, black on black, out of Champlain, New York. This car was equipped with the sport exhaust and the sport shifter. It has the beautiful sort of 996 GT2 style wheels. The only thing that this car doesn't have that I want would be the seat. These seats are still very comfortable, but the sport seats are something that's really special. It's got the right miles. It's absolutely the right color. And And yet our car here is suffering because it's only got four bids. It is at $40,000, which means it's approaching the number that it's worth. But I wonder if somebody tried to throw a knockout blow and it's sort of depressed some of the you know, build-up action that you would expect to see to engage several different underbidders leading up to the close of auction. It's an argument for another time, but let's take a look at this beautiful car. JP, do you love it as much as I do? And you know I am bearish on black cars. I would rather have one in any other color, but man, I would rock this car in a heartbeat.
Yes, I have said it over and over and over again that this is one of the best looking Porsches of all time. You're saying that languishing at $40,000, this is more money than a C4S996 has ever seen since they were new. I mean, these are not worth that much. I mean, they are coming up, but $40,000? No way. I mean, they've been look, it does have very low miles, and yes, okay. I've owned four C4S996s, and
wow,
they are absolutely magnificent cars, and people have been saying for well over a decade now that this is a future classic. I mean, I remember seeing articles when I got my first one back in, I don't know, I want to say like 2008 or something like that. It was like future classic, and you could get them for $20,000 or less. I mean, these cars for a long time, there was a moment there where you could get these for under 20 with higher miles, of course. But those days seem to finally be over. The dark days of the 996 have left us. But the thing is, you know, and I don't know. Did you look at the history on this thing of maintenance? How are we doing there?
Oh, I don't think I did. I was just oogling over the bodywork.
Yeah,
thinking,
it is so pretty.
Should I buy it?
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, obviously IMS is something, and that's probably been done. But 23,000 miles, I say this every time someone talks about a 996. People fawn over these low-mile ones, but these are the ones that blow up. These are the ones that didn't have any factory maintenance done when they were young, under warranty. The rear main seal, the camshaft seals. There's so many seals that fail on these. The only failure that causes a complete grenade is, of course, the intermediate shaft bearing, the rear main seal and the camshaft, you know, seals and all that stuff. Those failures will not cause destruction of the engine, but they will cause a mess and they will cause you a bunch of money.
Right.
To, you know, the sweet spot really for this car is one that's got 40 or 50,000 miles and all the maintenance has been updated. Because, you know, if this were a $200,000 car, all right, $10,000, $8,000 in maintenance wouldn't really be a big deal, but we're talking about a 40-something thousand dollar car. And really, before this day, before looking at this auction, when this car popped up earlier in the week, I'm thinking, all right, that's going to bring in the high 30s. And it's already at 40 with time to go. That's as high as a 4S goes, period. They don't go in the 40s. This will be the first will probably set a new bar. Because, I mean, in 40, at that price, you were in 997 territory.
Right.
In or good 40th, 997.
40th anniversary territory as well. You know, if that's not the same miles.
Yeah, but I mean, is a 40th anniversary car as valuable as a 4S? I don't know.
I think so.
You think so, and I know a lot of people would agree with you, but most people would prefer the wide body and the drama look of this car.
I agree with you from an aesthetic standpoint, but if I recall, the 40th anniversaries are numbered, and I would just think a numbered Porsche with more power and lighter weight is going to bring more money as a collector down the road, even if it's the inferior car from a, I don't know, aesthetic.
Well,
or
I mean, it is the superior car because even it has more power. It comes with an X51 kit, you know, from the factory. But that said, the narrow body 996s have never really found a place. They are starting to come up finally, especially .2996s. But you know, the anniversary car that you're talking about does have the same front spoiler thing, you know,
right.
Has the same gills in the front. It just doesn't have the wide body and doesn't have the gills in the back fender. But I mean, I will say it on record, and as an owner of a 997.2, no less, you know, the nose and the C4S 996 is definitely better looking than almost any 997, unless you're talking about a GT version. People hate these headlights. People call these the fried egg. This is not, for the record, let me get on record here. This is not a fried egg. If you call this a fried egg, you can't call yourself a Porsche fan, because that's not what this is. Stop calling these fried eggs. The fried egg is the first gen dot one that is shared with the Boxster, and it goes all the way down here and comes up, and it has the turn signal down in this slot here. So whatever, the show is called Bid Nerds, so we're just living up to the nerd part here. So yeah, I love this car. I think it is one of the most beautiful cars in the world. The interior is still a 996 interior. That is an issue. As much as I love 996s, I am not a 996 interior fan. Although aesthetically isn't the right word. Ergonomically, they are superior to the 997 in so many ways. Oh, it looks like this one. We're looking at a video here. It looks like it has a short shift kit. You look when he's pulling that. Yeah, that definitely is a. Looks like they put a 997 or GT.
I told you.
What's that?
No. It came. It was equipped with the sport exhaust and the sport shifter. So that's
okay. Okay. One. Yeah. Good.
It came from the. That's on the build sheets.
That's really fantastic. Cool. These little, you can't really see in this video, but I don't know if you guys could see my, over here on the left where the door handle is, there's this ledge on the side of the seat that is the perfect place to put, when you're driving, to put your arm, can you guys see my arm up on the side? Yep. Like in a normal car, like on a 997, you got to put your arm all the way up here on the side of the window. But on, on the 996, they designed it so that your arm is like right there level. It's freaking great. Anyways, whatever. What do you think this, we are totally nerding out, specifically on 996s. What do you think this car is going to go for, Michael Deeb?
I still think, I know you're going to think I'm nuts, but I think this car is going to bring $45,000.
Jeez. I mean, I guess it's possible with low miles and.
Yeah. It also may not get another bid. There's something weird about this particular auction with only four bids at 40,000. This could be one of those ones where everybody's like, there's just weird juju on it and it doesn't get another bid. That also wouldn't surprise me, but I believe this car to be worth 45 grand and it should sell at that price. But
I'm going to say 41. And because it's a dealer, it's in New York, you got to ship it somewhere. Whoever buys this is probably going to just put it next to their Evo BMW E30 and they're probably not going to drive it. And it's not a collector car. This is something to drive. It's got low miles and it's black on black, and it is put some coilovers on this thing and done. Ooh. Boom. You've got one of the coolest Porsches out there. But again, in the mid 40s to high, you are really close. You're in 997S, you know, dot one.
Right.
And that is just a better car. It's got the bigger engine. It's got way more reliability. It's just as much as like these. All right. So 41, you said 45. All right, let's move on.
Yeah. All right.
We're so way over today, so we got to get going.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's run through this, but this is a shame that we're not going to park and spend a lot of time on this, because I don't even think I knew this car existed. A 1980 Jeep CJ7 Renegade with 45,000 miles out of Golden, Colorado. The thing that caught my attention, JP, a 304 cubic inch V8 made it to a 4-speed manual transmission. How in the world did they even get a freaking V8 under the hood of this thing? Is that not the coolest one? I didn't even know they made a V8 for these cars. I'm totally blown away.
Well, most of them had V8s actually in that era.
Is that right?
The CJ5s, and then a lot of them had that 6s and stuff like that. There's a lot of room under there.
I just all thought these were really big 4 and 6 cylinders. I did not know that they had V8s. Again, I grew up in San Francisco. We just never saw these. Mm. This one looks to be in really great condition with just 45,000 miles, and that Renegade sort of off-white and blue interior paint job is just so cool. 1980 means it is literally the very first eligible year for Radwood. You could do a lot worse than showing up in one of these with a 4-inch lift kit, Mickey Thompson wheels, and some sick-ass tires. This is a no-reserve auction, again, out of Golden, Colorado. JP, earlier today, let me look at it and see if it's updated. Yeah, $11,000 now on probably like, 9 bids. Not a lot of action, but I imagine somebody's going to pay up for this, because Where would you find another one this nice? Talk to me, JP. What about, is the V8 the superior motor for this car, or is it just
absolutely not?
Is it a novelty because it's too heavy?
Nah, I mean, look, you know, it's a V8 with, we were probably talking about 110, 120 horsepower. I mean, it's not a very powerful big engine. It has a ton of torque. It's probably got 200 pounds of torque or something.
Right.
You know, so it's great for billy goating and stuff like that and schmobbing and pulling those wheels out of the mud. But look, the unlike the Rubicon of the current Jeep generation, which is kind of the, you know, the top of the line one, the one that's got all the bells and whistles and lockers and is the super off-roady one. The Renegade was more kind of the sporty lower end one back in the day. And it,
really?
You know, yeah. So, but it was, it, because it was sporty, it was kind of like, you know, hipster and it had the cool graphics on it and stuff like that. But, you know, this one is very cool, but it has a lot of mods on it that I frankly don't like.
The tubular,
those
and
polished tubes. You know, it's got Jeep Wrangler. Like, that door is not a, they didn't make hard doors for CJ7s. You know, so they took the doors off of an XJ, which is fine. I mean, they fit, but oddly, they just, they don't fit well. I mean, if you look at the pictures, there's like, the seam is just not quite right. So I don't know, whatever. You know, most of the time, if you're going to drive a CJ7, you're driving with no doors. And unlike the Wrangler, you can see in this picture very well, the windshield is completely independent of the roll bar. The Wrangler, of the next generation, the XJ, connected the top of the, of the roll bar on the CJ to the front of the windshield and kind of made it a little bit, give it a little bit more integrity. But these, you can still fold the windshield down. Not that anyone does. If you do that, you will blow the seal in between the windshield and the dash, and every time it rains, you'll have a little waterfall on your feet. You know, that's just kind of left over from the old war Jeeps. But yeah, I mean, these are, I love the simplicity of the interior. These, this big gauge, all it's like kind of reminds you of a modern Mini Cooper, right? They put that big gauge in the middle, or the other way around. These terrible speakers that are not period correct. I mean, somebody just needs to be smacked in the head. You got this modern stereo thing in the middle. A lot of nice touches on this thing. So there is a picture somewhere in here that shows the Jeep in its, like, when the guy hasn't owned it very long. He got it and then did all these like silly modern mods, and it's just so much better if he just left it alone. And frankly, that's the thing to do if you wind up buying this car, because it looks like, according to everything that I think I could see, that it is, I think all that old stuff comes with it. I'm looking for a picture if they have of it. I want to say there. Yeah, here we go. I'm going to bring up a picture of what it should look like. And here it is. Sorry, guys. There it is. So you can see here, it's got the small white wheels. Right, and it's still got Mudder tires on it, which are cool.
Yep.
And you know, it's just got this basic black bar up here, and then it's got this kind of cool, almost denim doors, and you can see they split in half.
Wow.
So you still have a half door. Now, they look terrible with the soft top on. You know, these just don't look good with the soft top on. This car, it would be cool to see a picture of this without the soft top, but with these wheels, this big stupid sticker across the windshield. It looks like, you know, whatever. It looks like it's got some new exhaust and stuff. All right, so, I mean, that said, it's a very, very cool Jeep Renegade, and you're definitely going to look cool, but there isn't a really super huge shortage of these. It's going to be interesting to see where this goes. If it were original, like, this thing's been repainted and those are not the original decals. If it had the original decals and original paint, you could be talking about something that would be actually worth quite a bit. But this one's going to stall out because of the fact that it's not original. It just looks like it's just a cool Jeep. It'd be a great one to have.
Yeah.
If you can get it for a decent price.
You talked me out of my bid. I'm going to go $14,000.
Yeah, that's a good bid. That's a good bid. I am going to bid just a little bit over, because I think some of the people a lot of people like those big tires and stuff like that. And don't get me wrong, I put big tires on a Cayenne. So I'll say 15, just bet the over, say it's got a ways to go. It's got 2.5 hours. You might be right. This one might be more like a 12 and a half or something like that. But who knows?
We'll see. Yeah. Golden, Colorado, probably not the easiest place to get a car out of at this time of the year. So, you know,
it's a Jeep, so you can just mob out. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you get the four-wheel drive. All right. So, and then the last car, what's the last car that we're going to talk about before we end the week off here?
JP, a 1989 Saab 900 Turbo. Boy, we have been all over Sobs lately. Let me read this to you. It has the Airflow body kit, which SPG. I remember. Yeah, that was such a modern, like, future-looking car back in the late 80s. You know, they just, even though you knew what it was, it still turned heads every time you saw one. It was really, I don't know, very ahead of its time. 94,000 miles on this example out of Knoxville, Tennessee. It does have a 5-speed manual. You know, that turbocharged front-wheel drive system is kind of a kick to drive. Boy, we've enjoyed seeing some really nice Saabs come across the auction block, particularly on Bring a Trailer, where this one is featured. And some action. It was at $12,000 on 20 bids. It's at $13,750 this morning on 26 bids. So I would say the audience is really feeling this one. Look at that cool factory Momo steering wheel, JP. Mm. That's a Momo. Neat details abound. Saab doesn't sell cars in the United States anymore. So these are really neat. I love that they have a little renaissance and that these cars are trading and transacting and that people are still out there driving them. I like the car. I believe in it. One to watch for sure. What do you think, JP?
Love them. Big, huge hatchback. That's actually one of the most useful hatchbacks of all time. I know that's a dumb thing to say about something such a cool, sporty car, but you can fold those seats down, and a guy that's short as me can actually sleep back there. The engine is slanted.
How do you know?
I've done it. Slanted inline four-cylinder 16-valve engine. You can see a picture of it here. You can see the head is not right in the middle. It's because the thing is at an angle so that they could get it as low as possible within the engine bay and as far back as possible. You see you got a lot of room between the front of the engine and the front of the car, which gives these cars really good weight, you know, the way it's distributed. And the engine is sitting directly over the top of the drive axles. This is a front-wheel drive car, so it does torque steer. But you're talking about a car that actually does unbelievably well in the wet and snow, and people love these up in Montana. They are all over the place. This appears to be a very good one. The thing about these old Saabs, they feel like they're chiseled out of a single piece of steel or something. They have that same kind of click that a car like a Mercedes or a Porsche has of the era. And that big fishbowl front windshield is just a great place to kind of look at the world while you drive one around.
That's right.
Bummer, does have a couple of cracks in the dash, which if you watch the show, Deeb and I are that just really hurts it because replacing that is impossible. Other than those two flaws, it looks really nice. A little bit of faded patina paint, but who cares? Patina paint's great. I think despite those couple little problems, I think this car probably could do well, but it's not going to be great. I mean, 4.5 hours to go, where do you think it's going to land?
So out of Knoxville, Tennessee, with 94,000 miles, a lot of action. I think there's going to be some competition for this car. So it's basically at 14. I'm going to stay on my bid, $18,000. I'm going to leave it there. I think that's a good price for the car. It'd be well bought and well sold if it lands near my price. So what do you think, Shapey?
Yeah, I think you're right there. 17 to 20. So I'll go under and say 17. It's got a long way to go, and it doesn't look like it's got a ton of action. But super, super cool car.
Great week.
With 95,000 miles, it's got 250,000 to go. All right, there it is. You guys have watched a whole week of Bid Nerds. You have nerd out with us on your daily nerd on the most interesting cars and cars and bids and Bring a Trailer. My name is John Polnick, along with my partner, Michael Deeb, out of San Francisco. I'm in Las Vegas. Thanks, guys. We've got some new types of videos that we're going to be putting out here pretty soon. And look for us Monday through Friday. We'll be back on Monday. Might even release a video over the weekend. Who knows? Stick around.
Ooh,
if you hit that subscribe, like, and notification button, you'll know when those videos come out. So help spread the word, guys. We're a new channel, and we really need all the press we can get. So please help us out. Or just go on the page and tell us we're terrible. That's fine, too.
Yeah.
See you guys next week. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks.